Luke 18, there's a great little story that's tucked in here about children. And I want to talk a little bit today about children and family. And that's a huge topic in the Bible. When you look up the words family or families, child or children, they're used almost 2,000 times in the Bible. Of course, a lot of those references are in a spiritual sense, about us being children of God or the family of God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, we won't turn there, stay in Luke chapter 18, but in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 is one of the great promises of the Bible. God speaking to Abraham told him that through in him all families of the earth would be blessed. Of course, that's a promise referring to Jesus Christ coming. But Jesus Christ came as a seed of Abraham through the Jewish nation. The great promise of blessing there is directed to families, isn't it? The home is the foundation of society. And strong families also help to make a strong local church. Children are so important, aren't they? They are the future. Noise of children is the sign of a living church. Yes, they do sometimes make a mess, and sometimes they have to be reminded of their boundaries. But where would we be without children? It'd be pretty dull, wouldn't it, without children? From our text this morning, we're going to see that Jesus loved children. In another place, he used a child to teach the disciples a lesson. And there are several cases in the Gospels where he healed children. Someone would bring their son or their daughter to Jesus. There was the ruler of the synagogue whose little girl was at home sick, and Jesus came and healed her. Luke chapter 18, let's start and look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now, that's not the topic of the message this morning, but that's a good reminder because we need prayer, don't we? We really need prayer. Our families need prayer. All of us need prayer. We need to pray for one another and pray for our children, not just our own, but for children in general. There was a man that used to come to our church, and most of you know him, Brother Tom, and he always asked for prayer for the little children. Always, that was one of his prayer requests. Pray for the little children around the world. They've since moved away and live in another town now. But that was something that always stuck with me. Pray for the children. Luke chapter 18, verse 15, we'll start there. And the Bible says this, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer, little children." That means to permit or to allow. "Suffer, little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." They brought. And my understanding is the Greek word that's used there for brought suggests that they brought their children to Jesus for dedication. That same word is often translated to offer. So they offered their children, they brought their children to Jesus. And these parents brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. They brought them to dedicate their children to him. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." It's clear that children loved in that day to come to Jesus, and today children love to come to Jesus. And it says something about Christ, and that children loved him, and that he loved children. Children don't love mean, sour, grumpy people, do they? They love people who are welcoming and inviting, and whom they can feel safe and secure around. And I'm sure they felt that way around Jesus Christ. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Wow. What a rebuke of the disciples. And this is recorded in God's word. And it's recorded in the other gospels where it's written as well. Can you imagine the disciples saying, no, don't bother Jesus with those little children. But Jesus rebuked them, said, "No, let them come. Suffer the little children to come unto me." Because children love to come to Jesus, we should never block the way to them or fail to provide them a way. Now, I understand a child needs to understand the gospel message and needs to understand that they're a sinner before they can come to Christ for salvation. But we should never, ever block the way of children learning and being instructed and being taught about Jesus Christ, so that the day comes earlier in their life than later when they will come to faith in Christ. This is a thought for a duty for children's ministry workers and especially for parents. The prayers and words of a parent can mean so much in the salvation of a child. I know I often quote Charles Spurgeon, but he had such a way of words and such an eloquent way of expressing things, and this is just something about that Spurgeon wrote, so let me give you this to you. Again, Spurgeon lived back in the 1800s, so a long time ago, but he said this, that well into his adult life, he recalled the prayers of his mother. And he said this, "Then came a mother's prayer, and some of the words of a mother's prayer we shall never forget, even when our hair is gray. I remember on one occasion her praying thus, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ.'" Spurgeon said this, "That thought of a mother's bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience and stirred my heart." So what his mother prayed was, "Lord, if my children don't accept you as their Savior, it's not because I was from ignorance, because I did my best to try to teach them your ways. I did my best to try to instruct them, and my own soul will bear witness against them that, yes, they have been taught the ways of the Lord." Again, referring to Spurgeon, he said, it is especially important to bring children to Jesus when we remember that they have a whole life in front of them to serve God with. That's important. Someone gets saved as a young person, they've got their whole life to live for God. We have some teenagers that we've seen that, and some of you may have got saved as a child or as a teenager, and you've been doing your best to live for the Lord ever since then. It's great to hear of somebody getting saved later in life, but their life is almost spent. Again, here's something Spurgeon said. "Will you be very angry if I say that a boy is more worth saving than a man? It is infinite mercy on God's part to save those who are 70. For what good can they do now with the burnt end of their lives? When we get to be 50 or 60, we're almost worn out." I feel that way some days, but I'm only in my early 50s. "And if we have spent all our early days with the devil, what remains for God? But these dear boys and girls, there is something to be made out of them. If now they yield themselves to Christ, they may have a long, happy, and holy day before them in which they may serve God with all their hearts. Who knows what glory God may have of them? Heathen lands may call them blessed. Whole nations may be enlightened by them." So it's so important we seek to raise children in the ways of the Lord, that we seek to reach children for Jesus Christ, because they have their whole life yet ahead of them to serve God. Yes, we ought to seek to reach adults as well, for sure, also. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, now this is the same story as Luke chapter 18, so you don't have to turn there, but Mark mentions something that Luke doesn't. He says that Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Very simply and yet very powerfully, the Lord blessed those little children that came to him. And that word there literally means to fervently bless. How could children receive such a blessing from Christ? Because children receive the blessings of Jesus without trying to make themselves worthy of it, or by pretending that they don't need it. Isn't that a game adults like to play a lot of times? We like to make ourselves think we don't need something when we really do, or we try to make ourselves worthy of it when we're not. And we need to receive God's blessing the same way. And the Lord used the child here, these children here, as an illustration. Look with me at Luke 18, verse 17. He said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Children are an example to us as adults of how we must enter the kingdom of God, with a childlike faith. Not a childish faith, but a childlike faith. We must come to God with a faith that trusts God just like a little child trusts his father, and leave our problems up to our Abba Father. The emphasis here isn't that children are humble or innocent, because sometimes they aren't. recognize that fact. But the emphasis is on the fact that children will receive and don't feel that they have to earn everything that they get. Children are at a place in life where often all they can do is receive something. You don't expect a child to go out and earn a wage so he can pay for his next meal, do you? That would be a bit strange. You don't expect a child to go out and earn to pay the rent. You know, Jayla, do your parents charge you rent? No, okay, that's good. Dad's probably thinking, I should start. She's got more money in her wallet than I do. But children will just receive, because sometimes that's all they can do is but receive, isn't it? They don't refuse a gift out of self-sufficient pride. Sometimes we do that as adults, don't we? By the way, this is just a side thought. If somebody wants to give you something sometimes, the best thing you can do is just take it. You know, don't rob someone else of a blessing because they want to do something for you. We must receive the kingdom of God as a little child, because we surely won't enter the kingdom of God by what we do or by what we earn. Little children characterize the child of God, and we need to have a childlike faith and dependence on the Lord. Jesus called his followers little children in John chapter 13 and verse 33. And that term, little children, is used a lot in the book of 1 John, which we're going to go to in a few minutes here. Luke chapter 18, if you carry on there and look with me in your Bibles, in verses 10 to 14 is another little story that just before this passage about Jesus blessing the children. And there's a story here about the Pharisee and the publican that went into the temple to pray. We're probably all familiar with it. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love how the Bible words things sometimes. He prayed with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican. Now the publican, which was a tax collector, demonstrates that simple childlike faith. Because he didn't come to God and try to impress God with all that he had done, like the Pharisee did. He simply humbly received and asked God for mercy. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And then if we were to continue reading in Luke 18, just after this story of Jesus blessing the children, is the story of the rich young ruler who thought that he could earn his way to heaven. And the Lord said, no, I want you to come, sell what you have, and follow me. And he walked away at that saying, because he was very rich. He could not part with his riches. He would not accept that he had a need in his life and that he was covetous. So there are some thoughts about children. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, if you take your Bibles and turn there with me, I don't have a definite particular outline today. Some thoughts that came to my heart and mind. Proverbs 17 verse 6. saved for a long time, you realize, yes, I know that. And maybe in your experience over the years, you've seen false teachers come and go. You might all know all that. But we have a responsibility to the younger generation. We have a responsibility to those that are coming up behind us. And we see that in the Bible. John, if you go with me to 2 John, look at 2 John. Verses 1 to 4. 2 John, verses 1 to 4, says, the elder, that's what John refers to himself, and he probably was quite elderly. We believe that John was the last of Jesus' disciples to die, and probably lived out his years and died a natural death in exile on the island of Patmos. But he says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Look at 3 John, verse 1. The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Go with me to 2 Peter. If you back up a few pages, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Peter says this, yea, I think it meet, means I think it's fitting or suitable, as long as I am in this tabernacle, meaning his own body, that I, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter knew that the end of his life was drawing nearer, but he says, I still have a responsibility to put you in remembrance of these things. Paul, we won't turn there, but in Philemon verse 9, he refers to himself as Paul the aged. And in 2 Timothy, which was his last epistle that he wrote before he was martyred, he had a message to pass on to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My thought is this. We have a responsibility to the younger generation, as I said, and those coming up behind us. As I've been preparing and looking at this series on contemporary issues, and the world's changing, isn't it? It's not the society that I got married in, or that my parents grew up in, or my grandparents. And I know sometimes we say, the Lord's coming back soon, the Lord's coming back soon, and he may very well be coming back soon. But I think, and I hear this mostly from older people, the Lord's coming back soon, it's mostly the older generation that says that. And we're supposed to be looking for Christ's return, but this is the point I'm trying to make, and you may not agree with me on this, that's fine. But let's not get self-satisfied. Because, well, I live my life, the Lord's coming back soon, it doesn't matter to me. Because we have a continued responsibility to help the younger generation. Because what if the Lord doesn't come back soon? What are they going to have to live through? The Iron Curtain came down in Russia in, what, 1917? How many generations did those people have to live through that? And still in China, the people suffer under communism. I don't know what's coming here in our society, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom or anything like that, but let's not us who know that we're kind of on the tail end resign ourselves and just say it's not going to affect us too badly, because the Lord may tarry his coming for a number of years, and what's our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren going to have to live through? what did John say here in 2 John and 3 John? He wanted to arm them with something, with the truth, didn't he? He said, I want to arm you with the truth is basically what he's saying, because he mentions it again and again and again. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. I rejoice greatly, verse 4, that I found of thy children walking in truth. And he said, I've got to pass on. And Peter said, I've got to stir you up and put you in remembrance of these things. I know that my decease is coming. I'm on the way out. I could just coast for the rest of my time. Paul said the same thing. Timothy, I've got something for you. You got to get this, Timothy. I know my departure is at hand, but I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I know what I've done my part, but Timothy, I've got something I've got to pass on to you. And we have a responsibility. Yes, we may retire from our regular jobs. Yes, we will obviously slow down as we get older. That's natural. You don't have the energy and the stamina that you used to have, but we still have to have a care and a concern for the next generation. The next generation. It's wonderful to see people that are still up in their senior years and still living for the Lord and still trying to be a witness as much as they can for Christ and tell others about Christ and still actively doing whatever they can in the local church for the next generation. Children and family is so important, isn't it? God's first institution was the family. That's the first thing he set up, was family. And you may not have a family. You may not have family you're close to. One of the things we know is that the gospel does sometimes divide families. But thank God for the family of God. Amen. Thank God for a church family that we can be a part of and be close to with one another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer today. I thank God for children. I'm thankful for those children that come to our church and for these families, Daniel and Imelda and Nathaniel and Ingrid, who came this morning to dedicate their children to the Lord. Let's pray for them. Let's continue to lift them up, strengthen and help them. They have a big job, a huge task. And all the other families with young children and those who are coming up, that maybe God will bless with children in the days ahead. May we continue to pray for them. Let us who are of the older generation never coast. May we realize we need to pray. We need to do what we can. We need to stand for the truth. We need to witness for Jesus Christ, to pass on to those coming behind us. And may we be like children and have a simple, humble trust in Jesus Christ and just receive from his hand what he has for us. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts at this time. Lord, for something from the message that was said today, may it be a help, an encouragement to someone in some way. Maybe, Lord, that you'd speak to someone about taking the next step in their Christian life. Perhaps it's getting baptized or joining the church. Perhaps there's someone listening today or in attendance that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. May they come unto him and humbly receive salvation like a little child and implicitly just trust in Jesus. Father, help us to be people that children can look up to. Set a good example to them because they need that. Oh Lord, I pray your Spirit would just touch our hearts at this time, in Jesus' name, amen.